And if you will, turn your Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, as we consider this passage here and a portion of it, the Lord has just continued to press upon this point. It's a need that needs to be, it's a subject that needs to be preached about and that sinners need to be warned about. We're going to take a look at some of the reasoning for that. But the Lord Jesus Christ here promising the Comforter to His church, and what the work of the Comforter will be through His church, through the people in His church, and the third thing that the Spirit, the Comforter, would be reproving the world of. We pick it up here in verse number 7 of John chapter 16. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me." Because with mankind, natural man believes there's no issue with sin. We love our sin as natural man, and there's no need for a Savior. "Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and you see me no more." The Lord Jesus Christ, the very witness of His presence at the right hand of the Father is significant of the Lord having accomplished and fulfilled all righteousness for the sake of the saints and for the sake of the salvation of the Lord being given and delivered to sinners. And then here, "because I go to my Father and you see me no more," verse 11, "of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." And so we're taking a look at this portion here in verse number 11 of judgment. We've taken a look about in John chapter 5 about how the Father has given judgment unto the Son. We took a look last time about how Jude, Brother Jude, testifies to the fact that Enoch, he quotes Enoch and saying there that as the Lord has judged men upon the earth, the final judgment is coming. It is coming. And the Lord is coming with 10,000 of His saints to execute judgment. We want to take just a little side note here. We left off last time reading in Isaiah chapter 63. They're taking a look at this one that comes from Bozrah, that comes from Edom with his garment stained. And we're wanting to go into the Scriptures and just see more and more revealed about how this judgment is going to be accomplished. And what the Scripture tells us more and more is that as we take a look at different passages, the Lord reveals to us the details, more details about this great judgment of the Lord. But before we continue on in Isaiah, we just want to take a look at why it is that we are admonished of the Lord as His people and as His church to preach and teach and to witness about the coming judgment of the Lord. And we just want to take a little bit of time to do that. In Mark chapter 3, a passage no doubt that you're familiar with, John the Baptist here preaching. And listen to what the message of John the Baptist, part of the message of John the Baptist is. In Matthew chapter 3, you also find this in Luke chapter 3, a parallel passage to it. In Matthew chapter 3, verse number 5, "Then went out to him Jerusalem," that is to John the Baptist, "and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him," that is John the Baptist, "in Jordan, confessing their sins." They were repenting of their sins and believing and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Him for salvation, this one that John preached about, and preached about His judgment. "And when he saw," verse 7, "many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, you bunch of deadly snakes, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" There is wrath to come upon sin. There is that condemnation of sin, the judgment, righteous indignation and judgment is going to be poured out by God upon sin. It's going to be. It need be. The Lord will not let sin pass. Sin will either be judged by the Lord and paid for or suffered for through eternity by unrepentant sinners, or it'll be taken care of in Christ. One way or the other. The sin has got to be paid for. And I tell you what, if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, we point you unto Him. We point you unto Him. He says, "Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" He said, you haven't been here from the message. You haven't been here when I preach about this one that comes, that whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, talking about how it is in the threshing floor, and gather the wheat into the garner, and burn the chaff with what? Fire unquenchable. Unquenchable. He says, the judgment of God is coming. Take a look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We need to preach the judgment of God. And the Lord is love. John tells us in his epistles that, yes, the Lord is love. But just as much as He is love, He will judge sin. And sinners need to be warned. We all need to be warned. We that are the children of God, as we take a look at the judgment of those that are damned, those that are condemned, those that are dead in trespasses and sins and go out of this life that way, it's another reason to say, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I mean, when we consider about that, the Lord has rescued us from that. He has saved us from that. That's the blessing of His salvation, is having been rescued from that judgment, that fiery indignation of the Lord. And here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, we pick it up here in verse number 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which are in Judea, are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of our own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, these that resist the Word of God and the ministry of the Word of God, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Resist the Word of God. Resist what the Lord says. Resist the gospel. Resist the work of the Lord's church. Wrath and condemnation is coming upon that wickedness. It's going to be. The Lord is not pleased with it at all, and He will bring it to bear. He says, these that are forbidding the work of God, forbidding the apostle, working there in Thessalonica, working among the Greeks that are there, the Jews that are there, He said they forbid for us to speak to them, to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins all way, verse 15, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. God hates resistance to His work. It will be. Woe. He says, woe unto the world because of offenses, because offenses will come. But woe unto the man by whom the offense cometh. May the Lord help. The wrath of God is real. Look in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 6, we pick it up here in verse number 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne. Why? And from the wrath of the Lamb. Why? For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? You know what the answer is? Nobody. Nobody can stand. And the Lamb is wroth. The Lamb's wrath is coming to pass. And Jesus is, He's the manifestation of love. He is. But just as much as He is love, the wrath of God is going to be meted out through Him. It's going to be, as we saw over in John chapter 5. In Revelation chapter 11, we see another reference here about this warning of the wrath of the Lord and the promise of it. Look here in Revelation chapter 11, as we pick it up here in verse number 16. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and Thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, judgment, is going to be meted out upon the dead. And they that should be judged, that Thou shouldest give reward unto Thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear Thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. Judgment is coming. And the reward of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord is coming. And wrath is on the way. Look over here in Acts chapter 2 as we see the preaching of the apostles, and namely here Peter. in Acts chapter 2, verse number 40. And he preaches Christ. They were pricked in their hearts. It says in verse number 37, the Lord moved upon many, and they saw their need, and they asked what they should do, and he presents to them repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And look in verse number 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves from this generation that is on their way to hell. Save yourselves from this crooked and perverse. That word untoward means that they're warped. They're winding. Their thinking is perverse. Their way is crooked. And as Brother Chad mentioned and read about over there in Proverbs, their way is froward. They're rebellious against God. They stand against God. They deny God. Peter tells us about that. And we've seen about how that is, that Jude testified to it too, as we look over there in the book of Jude. There are those that just deny God's judgment. In spite of Sodom and Gomorrah, in spite of the flood, one of the things about evolution is that denying of the creation and the denying of the flood. But it tells about the necessity and the way that it is that we are accountable to our Creator. If we've been created, we're accountable to Him. He has power over us. All that is in the world and the fullness thereof and the inhabitants thereof are the Lord's. We're the Lord's. We listen to Him. He doesn't listen to us. We listen to Him. He is God, and beside Him there's none other. And then they want to deny that of the flood, and in that they deny the destruction and the way that the Lord has worked upon the earth to bring the earth and the topography of the earth and such to what it is today. And they deny in that the coming final judgment of God. Denying Sodom and Gomorrah and denying that whole thing about denying that sodomy is wicked and lesbianism is wicked is just a defiance of the judgment and wrath and indignation of God. It is. It is. And those people need to be saved. They need the salvation of the Lord. And so it is that sinners need to be warned. And if you will, take a look over here in Isaiah chapter 66. We're heading towards that passage that we left off last time in Isaiah 63. But we want to take a look at a few things here in Isaiah as we come to that portion there of that one coming from Bozrah. In Isaiah chapter 66, here in the last chapter of the book of Isaiah, we see here these references and what a blessing it is about how Isaiah, the Lord, through the prophet Isaiah and inspiring him, moving in him to write the inspired Word of God, begin to reveal more about the Savior and more about this the wrapping up of the end of the age, the wrapping up of this world and the new heaven and new earth that the Lord is going to make and all those things. Isaiah is one of those prophets where much of that is opened up unto us and revealed, if you will, for the first time even. We see here in Isaiah chapter 66, verse number 15, for behold, the Lord will come with fire. Jude said that the Lord is coming with 10,000 of His 10,000s of His saints. Isaiah says that the Lord is coming with fire. John says that when he sees the Lord there on the Isle of Patmos, that His eyes are as a flame of fire. The presence of the Lord that when He would unleash the brightness of His beauty and of His glory and His righteousness would burn away sin from His very presence. That the enemy will just fail. That which is against Him will just fail and be destroyed in an instance because of the very righteousness of the Lord. The burning, white-hot righteousness of the Lord Himself. Behold, the Lord will come with fire and with His chariots like a whirlwind to render His anger with fury and His rebuke with the flames of fire. Oh, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the Lord has loved you and saved you? You want to be on that end? No. No, and it is our same Lord that loves us and cares for us, that rebukes us when we sin against Him. It's the same Lord that will be meeting out this upon those that are damned, those that are without Him as Savior. He says here, it says here, He'll come with fire, chariots like a whirlwind, to render His anger with fury and His rebuke with flames of fire. There'll be no fighting against Him. There'll be no denying it. There'll be no argument. Sinners will be there with the knees bowed, and they will be subject to the great King and Judge. What He says will go. That's it. That's it. By the very word of His mouth, they will be constrained to do what they are told. There'll be no argument. There'll be no argument with the Lord. Look here what it says. Verse 16, "For by fire and by His sword will the Lord plead with all flesh." That word plead, He's not talking about begging anybody for anything. But He's going to bring things to pass. He's going to reckon things. He's going to reconcile and reckon the truth. That word plead there in the Hebrew word means to judge or to vindicate. You know, the saints are going to be vindicated because we've been saved by the Lord. We're going to be declared in that day that the saints of God are going to be declared not guilty because of Christ. It's going to be known by everybody. Now, we talk to the world and we try to be a witness to the world and we tell folks about their need of Christ. And many, many, many don't believe us and think we're just as crazy as can be. Because they don't believe that there such a thing is so. But the saints of God will be vindicated. "It is so," the Lord will say. "And I have redeemed them, and they've come with me because I've called them." And they're coming with me to watch. To watch. To rule and reign with Christ, as we'll see as we go on in some of the consideration in future passages. But before by fire, in verse number 16, "And by His sword will the Lord plead." Will He judge? Will He vindicate? Will He punish? Will He litigate? The bar of the Lord. The great high council and bar of the Lord, the courtroom of God, will be in session. And men will be judged. Are you ready to meet this one? You know, just because you deny it, just because you maybe think it's not so, just because you don't think it holds any water or if it's a long, long, long way off, doesn't mean that it won't be. It's going to be. And we can't change a bit of it. It's going to be. And He's coming. He's coming to do so. And the slain, there in the last part of the verse, verse 16, "And the slain of the Lord," see that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, "the slain of the Lord shall be many." You know, the Lord's always, it's always been the working of the Lord amongst mankind. He's always worked with a remnant. He always has worked with a remnant. May God help us. That doesn't need to make us proud. That needs to make us thankful. Amen. Thankful. Thankful that we have been called of the Lord. Here, look here in Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. Now, Isaiah chapter 61, listen to what is said here, what is prophesied. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me," Isaiah 61 verse 1, "because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, unto the meek, and hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Those are good things to proclaim and preach, aren't they? Those are good things to do. We like hearing about those things, don't we? And for we that are saved, that's what the Lord came and preached to us. This is prophecy. Look what it goes on to say, though. There's a break right there and a transition right there in the middle of verse 2. It says, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God." This same one that is sent to preach salvation. This same one that is sent to bring tidings to the meek, good tidings to the meek, and to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim this liberty to the captives, and this opening of the prison, to proclaim that acceptable year of the Lord. That Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Is the same one that is coming to declare the day of vengeance of our God and to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes and oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. There's a rescue that's in there. And the thing is, this is Isaiah. This is Isaiah. What's this about? Well, we have some clarity about that, and we see that day of vengeance of our God there in verse 2. Look here in Luke chapter 4. Who's this talking about? What is this prophecy about? Is Isaiah speaking about himself? Or is he speaking about another? Well, here in Luke chapter 4, we're given insight about what this passage is, and the Lord Himself declares it unto us. In Luke chapter 4, verse number 16, "And he," that is Jesus, "came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read." So the Lord acknowledged the worship that happened at the synagogue, and it was his practice all of his life that he went there, and when there were they would look for volunteers to read, he was willing. He was willing. It's an example to us to be willing to serve the Lord in the church in whatever capacity and gifts that the Lord's given us. Amen? The Lord did. He stood up for to read. It's always the way it was with Him. That's what He did. "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place wherein it was written." They brought to him that book, but he went to the place because it was time. Once again, it was time for a prophecy to be fulfilled. And the Lord was there. It was no mistake that He was there. It was no mistake that He was given the book of Isaiah, that scroll. And He went down through that scroll and He found this place. "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives." What's our Lord quoting? Isaiah chapter 61. That's what He's quoting. That's what He's quoting. He says, "That's what I've been called to do. The recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on Him. And He began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." You're witnesses to it. It's being fulfilled. It's been fulfilled right now. I want you to turn back to Isaiah 61. Note here that the Lord stopped in verse number 19 of this passage to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. That's where He stopped. Because, see, He stopped mid-thought in that good word there in Isaiah. Back to Isaiah 61. Notice where He stopped. In verse number 2 of Isaiah 61, it says, "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That's where He stopped in Luke 4. But the prophecy goes on, doesn't it? See, the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 3 told Nicodemus, "I've not been sent to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved." That was the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ in His first coming. But you know what? On His second coming, this is going to be fulfilled. And the thing is, it will be Jesus. It won't be another agent of God that will be coming and administering the condemnation, wrath, and judgment of God Almighty. It won't be another. It'll be the same one that hung on the cross. It'll be the same one that was born, came as a man and was born in that manger there in Bethlehem so many, many, many years ago, and then grew up as a child and grew up as a young man and lived a perfect life and gave His life on Calvary for sinners like you and me. It'll be that same one. It'll be that same one that'll come, and He'll proclaim the day of vengeance of our God. The day of vengeance. Another thing that we want to note here Because it says here in Isaiah 61, verse number 1, look what it says here. In verse number 1, at the beginning of that portion of that passage of Scripture, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Jesus is no free agent, is He? He is God, and beside Him there's none other. But the Spirit of God is upon Him, because, see, this is of God to do this thing. And to what extent is the Spirit of God upon the Lord that He would come and pursue the vengeance of God Almighty and mete out this wrath upon wickedness and sin? What is that Spirit? What is the indication of that? Well, we've got an indication of that over here in Isaiah chapter 11. Take a look here. Isaiah chapter 11. Hear more prophecy given by the Lord through His prophet Isaiah, here speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "The Spirit of God is upon me to proclaim this day of vengeance." And look how it is with this Spirit of God that is upon our Lord. In Isaiah 11, verse number 1, "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch," His name. He is the branch, isn't He? "It shall grow out of His roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him, and the Spirit of wisdom, and the Spirit of understanding, and the Spirit of counsel, and the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. And not only that, and shall make Him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and He shall not judge after the sight of His eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of His ears. But with righteousness shall He judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And He shall smite the earth with the rod of His mouth," there it is again, that word, "and with the breath of His lips shall He slay the wicked." That's Jesus coming in His second coming to mete out judgment upon the earth, rescue of His saints in the rapture that we look forward to, and then that coming to set His feet back on the earth. He will do these things. "And righteousness shall be the girdle of His loins, and faithfulness the girdle of His reins." Six spirits of the Lord are mentioned here. Brother Jim, I thought the Trinity was such as Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's right. It is. And this Hebrew word here for Spirit in Isaiah chapter 11 is the exact same word that's capitalized over in Isaiah 63. Look here in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 is the Lord instructs John to write what He reveals to him to the churches, the seven churches there in Asia Minor. Listen to what the Lord says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God." See, John the Baptist prophesied and told in John chapter 3 that the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, He is a man, yet He is God. He says, "God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto Him," because He's God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is a man, has all the Spirit of God in Him and on Him. That's what manifests and shows that He is God. And as God, and as a man, He will mete out the judgment and righteous indignation of God upon damned mankind and unregenerate sinners. It's going to come to pass. Here in Revelation it says, the seven spirits of God are before Him. He has them. "The angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works." Well, Brother Jim, over there in Isaiah chapter 11, we only saw six spirits. Well, I wonder, and as a side note, I wonder if that seventh spirit, is it not the work of the Comforter in the church? Did not Jesus said He would send the Comforter? Isn't that how we started off in this consideration of these messages there in John chapter 16. Jesus is all in all, folks. He's the Savior and He's the Judge. He's the manifestation of the Godhead bodily. If you've got Jesus, you've got all that there is, because God has revealed Himself to us in His Son. Child of God, praise the Lord, O your soul, amen. That you know the Lord and He knows you. And sinner, repent. Repent and believe in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. As we return to Isaiah chapter 63, Isaiah chapter 63, we have more revealing about this judgment and this coming of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 63, we have some questions. It's almost like an interview. In Isaiah 63, verse 1, who is this that cometh from Edom? Down south there of Israel. Down south there to the southeast of the Dead Sea. Down south there where Esau was given. And that land that was given unto him that was down there to the southeast of the Dead Sea. Down there in that land that it seems, if we understand it right, was associated and was connected to Sodom and Gomorrah. Down there on that part of the Dead Sea, if we understand things correctly. Who is this that comes from disobedient Edom? Who is this that comes from the stronghold and the place of wickedness and sin? Who is this that comes down there that has his garments? Who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah, a town, a region, a town down there central in that region, that land of Edom? This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, a mighty one's coming. And he's beautiful. He is great and powerful and majestic. Who is he? Who is he that comes? He says, the answer there in verse number 1, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Who is this that's coming, that's got his garments splashed this way, that is great and majestic, that is powerful and strong? Who is this one? He says, the Savior. The Savior. I'm the one that's coming. I'm the one that's coming. The Savior. He says, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Sinner, if you're here without Christ, understand the Lord tells about His condemnation and judgment upon sin. He tells about His coming wrath. But He never leaves it without mentioning about salvation through Him. Will you receive Him? Believe in Him. Trust in Him. Save yourself from this untoward generation. The world is in and of themselves is going to hell. Don't follow that way. Amen. You need Christ. Right. You need Christ. Wherefore, in verse 2, art thou red in thine apparel? Why are your white garments and your beautiful, handsome garments so stained? Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel and thy garments like him that treadeth the wine fat? Why does it look like you've got that splattered all over you from being out there and stomping in the wine fat and trotting down the grapes? He gives answer. This one that's coming from that which represents wickedness and sin, for coming from that land of Edom, I have trodden the winepress of alone. And the people, and of the people, there was none with me. Those that I have trodden were all against me. They denied me. They were against me. They sinned against me. They're rebellious against me. They want nothing to do with me. And of the people, there was none that was with me. For I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury. This is Jesus? Yeah, because the day of vengeance has come. Time for the sinner to turn has passed. And judgment is coming to all. Judgment is coming to the wicked. Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. And the Lord said, it's enough. The iniquity is full. The iniquity of all mankind is full, and I'm going to mete it out in judgment. He said, I've tread in the one press alone, and of the people there was none with me. For I will tread them in mine anger, I will trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. Brother Jim, that's pretty tough. That's the way it's going to be. Wicked, sinful man, diabolical against the Lord, will stand against him to the end. And we're going to see that as the Scripture opens it up even more as we go forward in consideration of these other passages. And their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. I'm going to justify, and I'm going to show and declare to all that I have saved my people. They have been saved by me. And those that are far from me, I'm going to judge and pour out the righteous wrath of God upon them. It's come to an end. I've put an end to it. It's over with. It's done. The day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed has come. And I looked, he says, and there was none to help. And I wondered that there was none to uphold. There's no other Savior but the Lord. There's no one to rescue from the judgment and condemnation of God. Though hand joined in hand, I believe it says in Ecclesiastes, the sinner will not go unpunished. The world can stand up against God and say no. And the judgment of God is going to be poured out. It's not going to be able to be withstood. Men laugh, men mock, say it's always been the same. Young people say, I've got all my life to live. I don't want to hear about this. But it's going to come. I looked, there was none to help, and wondered that there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation to me, and my fury it upheld me. Because he's on a mission from the Father to judge the wicked. And I will tread down the people in mine anger, and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. I'm going to show it for what it is. That there is no strength that rises up against the might and greatness of God. I'm going to bring their strength down to the earth. And then we know that the Scriptures bear out. The Lord's going to destroy the earth, isn't it? The Spirit of God is going to reprove the world of judgment. Because it's coming. And may the Lord help. May the Lord bless that you that are here without Christ, that you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's real. It's coming. We that are saved. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. Amen. Amen. We'll be there to watch. We'll be there to witness it. We'll be there as witnesses. And you know why the judgment of God is so terrible? Now understand, this is the righteousness of God. God is not unjust. Right. But you know why the language, the verbiage is this way in the Scripture? Because sin is so bad. Iniquity and wickedness against God is so wicked and evil. It's not light. And the Lord won't let it pass. For you that are here that are not saved, may the Lord help you, and may you come to Him.